I want to thank God for allowing me to be here, being the type of person that he's made me to be, and thank the elders for this opportunity. Thinking back a little bit, I think the last time I had a chance to talk to you was back in January, a good 5 months. So I'm very well practiced, and I got this thing really down and packed and preaching. Well, actually, yeah, not really, but I'm doing back my old things here. But I want to explain, what I'm going to talk tonight is not really an original idea, but I do read a lot, but not nearly as much as Edith, and I think that point has already been well made. I'm not a prolific reader, but I do read a lot. But what I have read, there's some points that I want to present to you that inspired me and I want to share with you. And what I want to do is start off with a little story about a man who was sitting at the breakfast table one time, and his wife breezed through the kitchen and gave him a light kiss and said, "I bet you don't know what day this is." Of course, he puts on his paper and he looks at her and says, "Of course I know." And she said, "Okay," and went back upstairs to finish doing what she had to do. And he started thinking, "What day is this after all?" It bothered him a little bit as he's going to work. It's like, you know how sensitive she is about, you know, for him forgetting certain special days like anniversaries or Valentine's Day. And so he decided on the way home from work, I'm not going to take any chances. He stopped off and bought some flowers, some candy, and her favorite perfume. And when he arrived home, he said, "Surprise," and handed her these gifts. And she said, "Oh, honey, thank you so much. This is the most wonderful Groundhog's Day I ever had." It's funny, but I don't think he's ever going to forget Groundhog's Day again. Because memories are important. And some memories serve as markers and pivotal moments in our lives because they change us, they teach us, and they impact us whether we are prepared or not. I'll bet, and in certain histories we've had recently, there's not a mom here who cannot tell in great detail the events of the birth of their child. Or a hopeful couple when they adopted a child. I bet you there's not a man here or child who remembers the first car they bought or the first paycheck they received from a real job. Do you remember the first time you went fishing or hunting or baked a cake? These are kinds of memories that stay with us. They are markers etched in our minds and our brain cells like flags on a golf course, no pun intended, that here is a spot that something very significant happened. Ever go on a family vacation and something unexpectedly happened? It kind of made it kind of miserable, but you can laugh about it now. Ever go camping and some major catastrophe happened and your brand new sleeping bag got wet and you had to go to plan B? All those, raise your hands. You ever been in a tent that got hit by lightning while you were camping? That was me. Ever have such an unbelievable experience in life, whether good or bad, that to this day, you can still tell that story? I enjoy traveling and experiencing new things, and some of the most memorable times have been in recent years when we're traveling with the kids, especially when they were young. We once went to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and walked the hallowed grounds, and very typical, it was raining that day. But of course, the boys don't remember that because they were more interested in going to museums, seeing all the guns that were there. We went to Saratoga before that, and another turning point in American history. And again, running from one redoubt to the other, trying to recall the entire battle, and of course the boys again only remember the guns they saw in the museum. I remember when I moved back from New Mexico to New Hampshire, and we traveled through the Deep South, and we were heading north when we stopped off at Washington, D.C. And I remember going to the Lincoln Memorial, standing there, peering over to Arlington Cemetery, going to the Vietnam Memorial, put my hands that were etched the names on the granite, found on the name of my mom's cousin, Donald Arkin, who, by the way, that's what the road was named for in front of Lowell City Hall. The first one to die from Lowell during the Vietnam War. History and war memorials have a way of changing a person. The experience causes you to reflect on the feelings of all kinds of emotions. You sense the ugliness of war, the dark side, the losses in battle. You ask questions, why and how did it all start? And you begin to understand the reality of evil. You see the sin of greed, power struggles at work. But overall, you give thanks for your own life while you realize someone else died so that you can experience freedom. Remembering truly is important. And this morning I want us to look at that message entitled, Why Are We Doing This? Unfortunately for some, when we regularly observe something, we tend to lose its value. Our minds get turned off. And sometimes we simply just go through the motions for all the significance that we do. Just as I described some of the physical places I've been, some dates have the same thing. Memorial Day, Veterans Day become a day off from school. The 4th of July, which is next Saturday, become a day when families get together, they have cookouts and shoot fireworks. Thanksgiving is a day in which we sit down with family, we have turkey and watch football. They've all lost their original meaning. We are given a weekly memorial every first day of the week. At least we're told that in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. We are told by Jesus to do this in remembrance of me in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Paul repeats that phrase, do this in remembrance of me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. I seem to have the same thing that Nathan has. It's the face mask thing. We sometimes do this as a memorial to commemorate a memorial. We do this just like the disciples did in the first century, but were they breaking a bread to remember a memorial? Or were they breaking bread to remember Christ and proclaim his death? The concept of a memorial was not a new concept in the New Testament. It was well known in the Old Testament, and the Lord's Supper was instituted within a well-known concept. Most familiar was Passover. Now, Passover was a meal in the Old Testament that the Jews participated yearly in order to memorialize the deliverance from Egyptian bondage. According to Exodus 12, verse 14, this was a day that will be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. And Exodus 13, verse 9, provides us the great picture for the purpose of this memorial. And it shall be a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. These facts were to serve as a reminder, like something that just hit us right between the eyes. They're a memorial not just to serve as a reminder, but what we as participants are supposed to do in response to what God has done for us, or for them, in this particular case. And the memorial was to be in our hearts and in our minds. Therefore, we participate in the Lord's Supper to remind us of God's deliverance and our need to obey Him. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, also provides another reason for us to, for memorials. 12 stones were gathered from the Jordan River as the Israelites were passing through. The Ark of the Covenant was standing in there with the priests, and 12 Israelites carried them, and they built this memorial on the other side, in the Promised Land side, of as a reminder to all people. But it wasn't just for them alone to remember. Oh, remember when we crossed the river? It was a reminder for the descendants. It was a reminder to each new generation of what God had done for them. It was to remind them as a proclamation of God what he had done. This is what Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. The memorial for us in this Lord's Supper becomes an evangelistic tool for our children and for others in our assembly. To remind ourselves of the old story, we teach others of the grace, love, and forgiveness of God. As they wonder why we do what we do when we eat the bread, and so-called bread, right? Maybe take those little containers, and drink that juice, we are proclaiming the story to them, to everyone here who's listening, who's watching, who's present, of the story of Jesus who died for them. So what is your focus during the Lord's Supper? Is it a religious duty? Think about that. Because we don't do this to fill a religious duty or a tradition. If you're thinking about breaking the bread because the disciples gave us an example, then you need to substitute the example for the memorial, the one who we remember. We do this to honor the Son. We are given an example by the disciples in the reasons why we break the bread. When you consider the reasons, you have gained the knowledge of why we do this. What is there to remember about Jesus? Jesus' life was filled with moments for us to remember. How he cured people with physical ailments. Matthew identifies that in chapter 9, Mark in chapter 3, and Luke in chapter 5. How he cured people with skin diseases. Matthew in chapter 8, Mark chapter 1, and Luke in chapter 5. He fed thousands, 5,000 people at once, 4,000 people, and 5,000, all four Gospels identify this. Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, John chapter 6. How he had command over the nature. Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. He walked on water. Four Gospels identify that. Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, John 6. He raised the dead. Matthew noted that in chapter 9, Mark in 5, and Luke in chapter 8. The message he presented to the people through the parables that were in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke gave us the purpose of why he did this in chapter 8, verses 9 to 15. The sermons he preached in the mountains in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And even Luke noted that in chapter 6. And on the seashore that Luke wrote in chapter 5. How he forgave people's sins in Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 7. And how he persevered through adversity from the Jewish authorities right through his trial and death, primarily through the last third of all four Gospels. And these are just a few examples that are recorded. And John, in his Gospel, even said that Jesus did even more in chapter 21, verse 25. So this is a time that we need to focus on the body of the Lord. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the focal point of this memorial supper. We are proclaiming his death and showing our belief in this sacrifice. We boldly proclaim our confidence in Jesus' broken body, the pouring out of his blood, the victory he shares with us in his resurrection. This is our shout out to the world of our conviction of Jesus' redeeming work on the cross. So what is it to remember about Jesus? There are many aspects of Jesus' life, but none as important during the Lord's Supper than this, and what he did for us on the cross. The cross is where we make our boast. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul wrote, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Without events which occurred on the 3 days beginning with his crucifixion, we would be hopelessly lost. The Lord's Supper is a time for God's people to consider the body of the Lord. "Let a person examine himself, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 28-29. The church at Corinth failed to do this, and the results, many were weak in their faith, and some were spiritually dead. We need to be sure we understand what we are telling each other when we partake of this simple supper. Every memorial has its purpose, and the Lord's memorial is no different. We are commanded to break bread for a reason, and it must be done according to truth. It must be done in a manner that honors God, and it should never become old or mundane. Although the feast is observed weekly, it must be fresh and significant every time we meet. We remember Jesus. The feast will help us draw closer to God and will help us become more spiritual. This feast will help us to remember the greatest single mission ever accomplished, the basis of our hope, the reasons we have forgiveness. In this supper, we joyfully and soberly remind ourselves of the moment when Christ breathed his last and yielded his spirit so that we can live. We tell the world that Jesus died on the cross and purchased our redemption. And as Peter wrote in his first letter, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers is not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ and that of the Lamb without blemish or spot. We do not have a weekly memorial that reminds us that we are still in our sins. We have a weekly memorial that reminds us that we have a Savior who sacrificed and cleansed us. We have a weekly memorial that reminds us that we have forgiveness. And though I realize that this message is short, shorter than we're used to having, may we praise God for this tremendous blessing. May we always remember. Amen.